Lord good this morning? Has He been good to anybody? Amen. I believe that God has proven Himself. I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were just talking about how good God has been to us and how He has proved Himself to us over and over. And I told him, he said, this man was saying, I feel sorry for people that have never experienced God like I have and seen God work in their life as I have. And I said, I believe with all of my heart that when we set ourselves to seeking God, that God will without fail prove Himself to us. Amen. Praise God. My story may not be the same as yours. Amen. But it'll all point to the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Amen. At work in our lives every day. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say this morning and just congratulate Brother Jay and Sister Jackie and as they were united in marriage yesterday. Wonderful time that we had here. And I just praise God for His blessings in their life and what He's doing in them and for them. And it was a blessing for us to be a part of it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you want to read with me this morning, I'm going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Amen. As you're turning, I'd like to say again, so good to see you this morning in the house of God. Good to have our visitors that are with us this morning. May God richly bless you. And I just pray that if you don't have a home church, that this morning that you have found yourself a place to come and belong just join with us as the family of God as we pursue God's purpose for our lives. Amen. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1 through verse number 7. Praise God. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you again, God, for each one that is here on this Sunday morning. God, I pray that you will bless them. I pray, God, that as their hearts are open, God, because that is necessary. God, for us to receive, we must open our heart to you this morning. And I pray, God, that as we do that, God, that every life would just experience God this morning. God, exactly what they need and where they need you, God. Lord, that you would just be so real to them. I pray, God, that you'll anoint us to speak your word. I thank you, God, that you are here with us this morning. God, desiring to do a mighty work. And I pray for your anointing, God, just to come upon us that we could speak your word. God, not in our wisdom, not in our ability, but God, in the wisdom and the power of the Spirit of God this morning. And I pray, God, that every heart would be open to receive, that around these altars this morning, God, that a great work of God would be done in our life. And we thank you for it, and we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. Amen. If I had a title that I would title my message this morning, it would be The Value of One. The Value of One. Amen. You know, we live in a time, even in a church world time, that much of the focus of ministries is the quantity. If you will look, and I'm certainly not preaching against quantity. If you will look around, the big thing, the going thing, the fad of the church world is the term mega church. That church that is multi thousands of people that come together in one place, and how awesome that is, and how great that is. And I'm certainly not wouldn't preach or speak against that, because I'll be honest with you, I'm looking forward to the day that our pews are full and our church is bursting at the seams. And I believe that day will come. Amen. If the Lord tarries, amen, I believe that God is going to do that work at the Gospel Lighthouse. But many times our focus is on the crowd, the multitude. It is on having a congregation. It is on how much, how many that we can have. Amen. But I believe that in the kingdom of God, I believe it is different than that. And I believe that we can have a crowd without being focused on the crowd. Amen. Amen. Christ began to speak a parable as he was being railed against of eating with those sinners and those publicans, those that the religious crowd said was unfit to even be seen in public with. Amen. Not even worthy of the time of the one who called himself the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Amen. But Jesus began to speak this parable, and he says, which one of you has that would have 100 sheep? If he lost one sheep, would he not leave the 99 and go search for the one that was lost? Amen. We can stop right there this morning. Amen. And not have to go any further and realize, amen, that Jesus places great value not on the multitude, not on the crowd, not on the congregation, not on how many or how much, but what God is concerned about is the one that is among us. Come on. The individual. Amen. God has not come, amen, for the world in the sense of being general and generalities. He's not come just to be able to reign, amen, and to rule a kingdom. But God has come to have a relationship with one individual person. Amen. It is obvious in this parable that Christ spoke that, amen, that Jesus, that God, the kingdom of God places great value upon that one, amen, that no one else wants to notice, that no one else thinks is important. Amen. I begin to read this and meditate on this. Amen. Begin to realize that God is not focused on the crowd, but is focused on one. I'm thankful that whenever God looks out, amen, upon all of creation and this earth and all of those, amen, that are alive today, that is not, does not just see an earth, amen, that is covered with human beings, but I believe that in the crowd, amen, that he looks into every single heart, amen, as an individual, as a person. The Bible says that God is so concerned about us, about you, about one this morning. Can I tell you, he said that there is not a hair on our head, amen, that is left unnumbered. Amen. That may not mean anything to anybody else, but can I tell you this morning what it means to me? Amen. Is that for myself, amen, I will never be lost in the crowd. Amen. I may be overlooked by somebody else. I may be overlooked by my peers. I may be overlooked by those in authority over me, but when it comes to the eyes of God, I can rest assured that in and all the crowd, the eyes of God singles me out. And can I tell you, the same is for you this morning. It doesn't matter how overlooked you feel this morning. Amen. It doesn't matter how lost you may seem. I want you to know this morning that the eyes of the Lord are upon you, because God places value on one. On one. You see, his purpose as it was in the parable of the shepherd with the flock. The shepherd's purpose was not just to have a flock. If that was his purpose, when the one began to go astray, the shepherd would have said, "Oh well, I still have 99. What's the difference in 199? That was just an old wild sheep anyway. That was just one that caused me problems anyway. That was just one that I was having to deal with all the time anyway. I still have 99. But notice the shepherd, when the one went astray, the Bible says that he left the flock and he went for the one. You see, his purpose is not just to have a flock, but his purpose is to have every sheep. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something. God is not just concerned, amen, in having a following or a flock, but God is concerned about having you this morning. Well, come on, somebody. I said, God is interested and concerned about having you. I like it. I don't know if you do this morning, but I like it. Come on now. Because can I tell you, there's been a few times that I hadn't been worth having, but he wanted me anyway. Well, come on, somebody. There's been a few times that I've been rebellious and hard-hearted and stubborn in my heart, amen, and I have walked away from the care of God and the provision of God, but I'm thankful that he wanted me so much that he came after me. Well, come on, somebody. Let me tell you something this morning, saints of God, when it comes to you, amen, I want you to understand, amen, the relationship. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with God this morning, but I want you to understand what kind of relationship God has with you, amen, that when it comes to you, amen, we might as well say that we're the only one that exists in all of the world, because God is that concerned about you. I know this morning that he's greater than the shepherd in the parable, because the shepherd had to leave the 99 to go find the one. I'm thankful the difference in the shepherd and the great shepherd is the great shepherd can stay with the flock and still go find the one, that he can still provide to those that stayed and they were faithful, but can still go find the one that strayed, because he's concerned about each one. I'm not okay with losing one. Aren't you glad that God's never okay with just one missing? Oh, come on, somebody. He's never okay with one. I've got 99, but I'm missing one. The focus was not on the 99. The focus was on the one that was lost. He said, I like the way the parable, in my mind, illustrates this. He said that he lost one of them. I love how it doesn't specify which one. It doesn't say that it was the old experienced sheep that was the leader of the group that kind of everybody else followed, and he just couldn't live without that one helping keep everybody else in line. That it wasn't the most beautiful of the group, the one that had no blemishes and the one that had no spots and the one that always acted right and done like it was supposed to do. But it didn't say that it was the rebellious. It didn't say which one. But it said he lost one of them. I'm thankful, saints of God, that he didn't specify which one he was concerned about. He didn't put this title or that position. But it was illustrating, I believe, to us that it doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter whether it's the old experienced one that's been in the way a long time but strayed, or the one, amen, that has got blemishes and that's got messes going on in their life. The one that's always bleeding, or the one that's always wanting, the one that is always crying out. It didn't specify which one, because it doesn't matter which one. All that matters is that there was
one that was lost that needed to be found this morning. Can I tell you, saints of God, today, amen, maybe you're here this morning and you've strayed and you've wandered and you've lost your focus on the shepherd, and you've gotten to the place the shepherd is out of your sight this morning. I want you to know the devil will lie to you and tell you that God's really not concerned, that he really don't care, that you're really not important. But I want you to know, if you would stop and if you would turn around, you would find the shepherd is coming after you this morning. The shepherd is coming after you this morning. He's not satisfying until you're back in the fold, until you're back in his care. You're quiet this morning. I hope I'm doing all right. You see, I began to think as I was preparing for this message, I said, God, if the room is not filled with sinners this morning, with unbelievers, then this may be a message that maybe some of us fail to relate to. But God began to speak to my heart and said, this is a message that everyone ought to relate to, because we've all been the one. And it is not beyond the possibility that we will be the one again. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, let a man take heed. If a man thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he falls. What does that mean? Let's not look at the one who has strayed. Let us not look at the one who is lost this morning and who has wandered away and shake our self-righteous finger at them and say, shame on them. But this morning, amen, let us pray that the shepherd finds that one that is lost. Let us pray that in the heart of that one that is lost, there is a moment of surrender into the care of the shepherd, and that one is brought back into the fold again. And we can, this morning, you may be here and there may not be anyone in this congregation, amen, that is strayed from God and that finds themselves in a lost condition away from the Savior. But can I tell you this morning, you will contact somebody tomorrow that is one of the lost. And it could be the shepherd is waiting on you to be his hands. Come on, somebody. To be his voice to call out to the one. The Bible says that he left the 99 and he began to search for the one that's lost. And I know that the great shepherd has the ability. That's the reason why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he sent the Spirit in to be our comforter. That way, with the 99, the Spirit of God could be bringing the provision of Christ into our life while the search is happening for that one that is lost. But I believe in this parable, I believe that it was illustrating by leaving the 99 and searching for the one, it was showing God's real priority. What God is really about this morning. I'm thankful for all the blessings of this life, the blessings of the exterior, the material. I'm thankful this morning for the new houses and the new cars. I'm thankful for all the gadgets that we are blessed with in this life. But I just want us to be sure and know this morning that God's priority, amen, is not the things of this life, but God's priority is to make sure that the sheep are ready for that life that is to come. By leaving the 99 and searching for the one, he said the thing that is most important, not that the sheep are well groomed, not that the sheep have every little thing that they ever want, but the thing that is important is that all the sheep are brought into the kingdom, into the fold. Amen. Saints of God, I believe that sometimes as Christians, we need to get our priorities lined up with God's priorities. Because sometimes we fail to realize that God's real priority, amen, is not focused on a life that is temporary, but is focused on eternal life. Salvation, your relationship with him, and that one that is lost relationship with him. By searching for one, I believe it portrays God's love for each of us.
How many knows that God loves you this morning? Amen. You aware of that? Did you get up this morning and just thank God that He loved you? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that God's love is something that is unsearchable. Something that won't ever go away. Can I tell you this morning, sometimes we continue to wander from God because we fail to realize the love of God. Amen. Because we look at the love of God and judge God's love by our love. Come on, somebody. How many knows that we get impatient? How many knows that we get wore thin sometimes? How many knows that we give up on people sometimes? But how many knows that God's love is so much greater than our love is? He says nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Romans chapter 8. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love. Doesn't matter how far we've wandered. It doesn't matter how dirty and nasty we've become. It doesn't matter how many scars and wounds that we have accumulated along the way. It doesn't matter how rebellious. It doesn't matter the nature of the separation from God and a relationship with God. I want you to know this morning that the love of God is the same right now as it has ever been for your life. He loves you. And because of that love, that His grace and His mercy, amen, is given to us today. I thought about it. He went after the one. I'm so glad that God comes after us. Amen. I'm glad that the great shepherd doesn't say, well, I hope that they can make it back. I sure hope that they learned their lesson out there in the wilderness by themselves amongst the enemies and the things, the mountains and the briars and the thorns. And I just hope that they can then fight. But the Bible says the shepherd went after the one that was lost. I'm so glad this morning, amen, that Jesus came after me, amen. That He didn't leave it up to me to find Him. That He didn't leave it up to me to find my way back. But Jesus came looking for me. He came to where I was. I don't know this morning about you and if you've ever needed God to come after you before, but I have, and I'm glad that He came after me. Because He values the one. Because it's the one that He's interested in. It's the personal relationship with you that He's interested in this morning. I thought about what it is to experience the grace of God, and I've had it explained to me and described to me like this, and I love this explanation. You can explain it like you want to. But grace is being given that we will never deserve. I thought about Romans chapter 5, verse number 20, where it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, where my rebellion abounded, where my stubbornness abounded, where my disobedience abounded, amen, even to the point of walking away from God, amen, even walking in my own nature, even walking in my own self-will that separated me farther and farther from the purpose and the direction and the care of the shepherd, but always found that it was the grace of God that kept the great shepherd. Amen. I didn't deserve His love. I didn't deserve His care. I didn't deserve His time. But it was His grace that caused Him to take every step that I took. And when I came to the point to cry out to God, I found that I didn't have to go back, that He was there where I was. What was that? That was the grace of God giving me what I could never deserve. I deserve the shepherd saying, go get what you deserve. Go get the consequence of your rebellion, of your disobedience. Go let the enemies that are greater than you come into your life and destroy your life. That's what I deserved. I've heard my dad say many times, I'm thankful that I was saved whenever I was 6 years old, and I praise God for it. That I don't have some of the testimonies that my dad has. My testimony is that God's been so good and faithful to me all my life. Through serving Him, certainly hadn't been perfect, and those of you who know me know that. Amen. Ask Brother Pete, I kicked him in the shin when I was 5 or 6, I don't know. He's talking about my daddy. Come on now. But my dad's told me a lot of times, my dad wasn't saved until he was up in his 20s and raised by a very godly mother and knew the way, but refused and rebelled against the way and lived a lifestyle of sin, lived in sin. Wasn't just a good person, didn't know Jesus. He was living in sin. And my dad has told me many times, there's really no reason that I ought to be alive. Really no reason that I should have ever made it to the age that I gave my life to Jesus. But even whenever I was lost, the shepherd was still watching over me. Now that's not a guarantee, church, when we're out from under His care. But what that is that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God giving us another opportunity. Is anybody glad for a second chance? Anybody glad for a third chance? What about a 20th chance? You see, that's the grace of God giving you what you don't deserve. Because we don't deserve the first chance, but God's giving it to us. The mercy of God causes Him to withhold from us what we do deserve. What did David say in the psalmist over and over? And I can't remember what chapter it was there in Psalms. And His grace, or His mercy, endureth forever. And His mercy endureth forever. And His mercy endureth. Who does it endure to? It endures to the one. Who is it extended to? It's extended to the one, to you, to me. I'm so thankful that in this passage of Scripture we find a shepherd, and I love how it is written. It says that he leaves the 99 and he goes after that which is lost. And this next word is very important in our relationship with God. Until. He searches until he finds the one. I said this a few weeks ago, and I feel like I need to say it again this morning. You will give up on yourself before God gives up on you. Because God is going to search until he finds you. There will never be a moment, I believe, and I understand that there are things that God does in our lives and allows in our lives that only He knows what it's all about. But what I'm completely confident of is that God is going to search into it. Now, I want us to know there is a warning in the Word of God that the Bible says that God's not always going to strive with man. So don't take this morning this message and leave here saying, well, you know, I've got plenty of time, so what's the need in surrendering my life? Because there is coming a day. The chapter on your life's going to be closed. Amen. And you are going to have your last chance. But He will search until He finds us. He'll never give up on His pursuit of us to reclaim us as His own. Verse number 5 says, and when he has found it, that one that was lost, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Amen. I begin to think about how I would be, and I understand that I need help and I need work in this area of my life. But if I were to have 99 and have one sheep that got lost and of its own stubbornness and self-will and strayed out whenever he knew it should have stayed, I just can only imagine what I would do to it when I found it.
Joe said, eat him. I don't know about that. But I would probably use that staff that the shepherds carry. You, come on now. Y'all sitting there looking at me with this pious look on your face, and I know better. I mean, when I found that, have you ever lost a dog or something, and I'm, you know, trying to call for it, or knowing that it hears you. I saw Joe and Loretta trying to get their little dog whenever trying to train it. I mean, calling for that thing, offering it treats, and it's just running around out there like it can't hear anything. And I'm thinking, oh, don't let Joe catch that thing, because I know he's going to be in trouble. But anyway, Loretta, he never did beat the dog too bad. But anyway, you think about it. He said he followed him. If you'll look in Matthew, he went into the mountains looking for the lost sheep. Can you imagine after wading through the briars and the thorns and the heat and the cold, whatever it is, over the rocks and the mountains, can you imagine how impatient and frustrated you would be with that lost sheep? I would probably use the staff to get it back in. Come on. Not gently. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? The portrayal, the Bible says when the shepherd found the one that was lost, it didn't say nothing about beating him with a stick. It didn't say nothing about kicking him. The Bible says he picked it up and he laid it on his shoulder. And he rejoiced. He didn't, you dumb sheep, but he rejoiced, you're found. That one is found. He's mine again. Can I tell you, I begin to look at that and how powerful of an illustration this is that I've never saw in this before. But he didn't ask the sheep to get back to the fold and where he needed to be in his own strength. But he said, I'll be that strength for you. Can I tell you, a lot of times you and I, we get rebellious and disobedient and stubborn and we stray and we get addicted and we get bound. We got all this oppression, these chains and these prisons hanging off of us. And a lot of times we fail to surrender to God because we know that there's no way that we can get back to where we need to be. Jesus had never asked you to get back where you needed to be. The only thing he's asked you to do is stop and surrender to him. He'll pick you up and bring you to where you need to be. He'll overcome the addictions. He'll overcome the bondages. He'll give you freedom from those things that oppress you. I begin to think about how nasty that sheep looked. I'm sure when it left the fold, it was white, it had been cared for, it was well fed, it was well nourished. But I'm sure by the time the shepherd found it, can you imagine, I remember I used to go to Sister Marilyn's house when my Uncle James was still alive, and they had a horse called Lone Star that I rode a lot, and right behind their barn area, there was a cucklebird patch. Man, I would go over there and ride that horse, and that horse's tail would be covered in cuckleburrs. You ever seen anything covered in cuckleburrs? Y'all looking at me like, man, do I have something on my face this morning? Because y'all looking at me crazy or something. Can you imagine all the burrs and the stickers? Can you imagine just how matted this old, because he wasn't a domesticated sheep anymore. He was a wild sheep. Can you imagine how mad he was, how filthy he was, how dirty he was? I imagine where wolves and cows had chased, there was probably scars and scratches and wounds and all those kind of things. And you know, how many knows there's people in this life that look just like what I'm describing? We say, ooh, that's a bad one. We may not need to get too close. Jesus said, that's the one I want to pick up. Put on my shoulder because I'm concerned. It don't matter what they look like. It don't matter what they smell like. Don't matter where they've been, what they've done. All I'm concerned about is bringing them back to where they need to be. Amen. Saints of God, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know why I'm preaching this message, but I feel it real strong in my heart today. Let God pick you up. Quit trying to do it by yourself.
Quit trying to do it by yourself because it won't work. Jesus Christ left the splendors of heaven, come to this earth, and he suffered torment and agony on the way to the cross, was nailed to an old rugged cross, had a crown of thorns pressed down on his head, was ridiculed, despised, suffered more than what any man could imagine. And he died. What'd he do that for? He done that so you wouldn't have to fight the battle yourself. But when he hung on the cross, he fought the battle for you. And when he rose again, he claimed victory for you. So quit trying to do it by yourself and let Christ pick you up this morning. Okay, that's easy to say. How do I do that? There's something called faith that I say, I believe in what Jesus done, that his sacrifice broke the power of sin over my life. And you know what I'm doing? I'm accepting that for me. Because I believe that he didn't just die for the world, but he died for the one. And that one was me. And I'm giving it to him. I'm giving my pain to him. I'm giving my wounds to him. I'm giving my bondage to him. I'm giving my hurt to him. I'm giving my sin to him. Here it is, God. Here it is. Here it is. The value of one. I'm coming to a close. Sister Ann, could you come to the piano this morning? Something very significant happened in verse number 5. It doesn't say it outright, but I believe with all of my heart that this happened. Have you ever in your life tried to pick up a wild animal? Have you ever tried to pick up an animal that didn't want to be picked up? Verse number 5 to me illustrates something that happened without saying it in a obvious manner. The Bible says when he found it, he laid it on his shoulder. Didn't say anything about a struggle. Didn't say anything about a battle. And as I read that, I feel like God spoke into my heart and said there came a moment in that sheep's life that he surrendered. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm not running anymore. I don't want it my way anymore. I'm tired of being on my own. I'm tired of handling life by myself. I'm tired of thinking there's a better way. I come to this point of surrendering to the shepherd. Can I tell you, that's all God's waiting on in your life this morning. That's all he's waiting on. He knows where you are. Come on. He's not out looking. He knows where you are. But he's waiting on you to surrender this morning. Say, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm ready to do it your way. And to understand that the fulfillment of our life, our forgiveness of sin, our victory over sin, the healing of our wounds, the restoration of our life will only come through Christ. To get back where I belong. Let me tell you something. There is one place that you belong, and that is in Christ this morning. Outside of him, away from him, you will never be fulfilled or experience life as God desires you to. Look, this world, I know we've gotten so intellectual. Like my daddy used to tell me sometimes, get too smart for my own good. try to think there's a better way than Daddy's way. And I know that there's so many that don't believe and that ridicule what we call faith in Christ, knowing Christ. But can I tell you this morning that where you belong is in Christ. Everything that you need is in Christ. What you come to this service this morning longing for is in Christ. Is in Christ. Amen. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. I want us to bow our heads, close our eyes just for a minute. Are you the one? God, I believe that if Jesus Christ Himself were here in person, I believe that His Spirit is here this morning. But if this was Jesus standing before you talking, He wouldn't say, do I have 99% here that's saved? No, He would call for the one that had strayed. He would call for the one to allow Him to restore them, renew them. I want to ask you this morning, are you the one? This morning, if you strayed from God, I want you to know that God, He's right behind you this morning. He's coming after you because He's concerned about you. And if you're here and you say, Brother Chris, that's me, and I want more than anything else to be back in Christ's care, and that relationship with Him, and I've come to a point of surrender this morning, would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand? I just want to pray for you. Anybody this morning? God sees that hand. God sees that hand. Are you here this morning? You're here this morning and maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with some things in your life that has caused you to question the love of God and the care of God for you. And you need the Spirit of God this morning to remind you and establish in your heart that it's not a crowd that God's after. It's not a crowd that God loves. It's you that God loves. Anybody say, Brother Chris, I need God. I need God to reveal that. God sees these hands. I need God to strengthen that in me this morning. Amen. I'm going to open these up. I want everybody that will. Because this is a thing, church. Let me tell you something. You say, Brother Chris, I'm right where I need to be. Then you know what you need to do? You need to come down, fall down on your knees, and thank God that He came looking for you. Because we've all been lost to be found. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Let's come pray this morning. Hey, if you feel like praying for somebody, pray for them. Just let God lead you today. Amen. Let Him bless you. Praise the Lord.